This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Let's put all the cards on the table, shall we? If it's not this year, then when is it?
Correct. This is the year. Look at the tournament. You don't have Patrick Mahomes. You don't have Joe Burrow. This should be the year for Josh Allen.
Rolls to his right. Pocket collapsing. Comes back to his left. Heaves it down the left sideline for Shavers in the end zone for a touchdown.
All of the inexperience of the quarterbacks in the AFC playoff picture right now gives Josh Allen and Sean McDermott, in my opinion, their best chance to win it.
Allen back to pass, looking down the right sideline for Kincaid, complete, and he walks into the end zone for a 23-yard touchdown reception. Hand off to Cook, through a hole, and darts it to the open, and he is G-O-N-E gone. Touchdown, James Cook, as the cook is in the kitchen.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
No pressure, no pressure.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I feel like I watched the game really closely yesterday. All of those highlights are from the game.
No.
I don't think that's right.
Well, you could tell they were old because they were scratchy.
Like a vinyl record.
Well, good news for you at least. We have made it to January.
We did. We did it.
Did the season mean anything? 8:03:05:50. What did we learn? Because, you know, keeping with the theme, right? That's sort of a highlight reel from the season. Did we learn anything? Can you remember how you felt before it started? There's one variable that we didn't expect.
New England being this good.
Right.
And I would say Denver being this good. You know, like any given year, the Bills or the Chiefs or the Ravens or the Bengals, or any of these teams can stub their toe and something can go wrong. Burrow missed some time. Jackson missed some time. Not entirely why their season's unraveled, but to some extent, it's a large factor. So that can happen to pretty much any team any year, but I did not see Denver being the number one seed or New England winning 13 games. 14 games, excuse me.
Jacksonville even won 13 games. And a bunch in a row, right? 8 in a row?
Yeah, they're on an 8-game heater. Yeah.
All 4 teams in the AFC that won divisions in 2023 won them again in 2024. The same 4 teams. This year, none of them did. 0-4.
I think only one team in the entire league won their division for a second year in a row, and it's the NFC East, which hadn't had a back-to-back winner in 21 years prior to this year.
Gotta love it.
So there's the NFL for you.
There aren't even that many teams in these divisions.
So there's only 4, right?
Bring it on. I'm excited about all of this. You know, what did we think the Bills would look like going back to the beginning? Well, they might struggle to get open. Check. Do they have enough in terms of the pass rush? It's okay. Pass defense, good. Run defense, less good. That's the same. That's not out of line with anybody's expectations, or shouldn't have been. James Cook backed it up. You know, he was good or great, and he was again. So that's, the numbers are different. That's not surprising, but he basically repeated.
Yeah, he had almost 600 more yards than he had last year, and only, 4 fewer rushing touchdowns than he had last year. So regression did not really come for him in a significant way, unless you really want to get hung up on the 4 touchdowns. But, you know, it's still, he was great. He deserves every accolade and every cent, I think, that he got paid. So, I don't know. What did we learn? I mean, I know I was hopeful that, you know, the year began without Hoyt and Ogunjobi with 6-game suspensions. And I was never one getting really bent about, you know, I'm glad Ogunjobi's there now considering what their depth looks like, but I didn't feel like that's a meter mover. Hoyt, I thought, had a chance to be that, and maybe by now they'd be settled into, like, they've got a really good unit there. Everyone knows what they're doing, and they know ways to use him and everyone else because of it, and then that lasted a game and a half. So we didn't really get that bump. They've gotten by, though. They've made do. And for all the crises that their run defense had, you know, the amount of conversations that has generated, I was talking with Sneaky Joe on Twitter about this yesterday, and I've mentioned it in here. Like, show me where it really hurt them. Like, games that they lost this year, the Miami game, I think, is the only one you can really point to, because late that game got out of hand with a couple of big runs. But, like, other games where they got gashed,
Atlanta,
it was 24-14. Like, if I can play on offense at all in that game, I probably overcome that.
Well, that's what New England was in Foxborough, because New England did that to them, too.
Yeah, right.
And they did overcome that. But you needed 35 points.
Yeah, that was a lot to ask. Yeah.
It's not much to say, but you just have to have it line up now. Because you can't lose anymore. Like, that's
right.
You can lose to Atlanta, but you can't lose this week. Like, you lose this week, and this thing, in the end, ended up being a bomb, right? Like, to lose in the first round against the Jaguars is not anybody's idea of a good result for what the Bills have been.
Yeah, no. I don't want anyone to be confused by my respecting the Jaguars and finding them to be the least desirous matchup option, and it's ended up in our laps with, like, they shouldn't be able to beat the Jaguars. I just think it's harder than some other game. I think Baltimore or Pittsburgh, either one, would have been an easier matchup. Turns out it would have been Pittsburgh if only Indianapolis had been able to close out the deal yesterday with Houston. It was so close. They were right there.
Right.
But anyway, I'm not, like, the Bills are favored. I think they deserve to be. They're the more accomplished team. They've got the more accomplished quarterback. Like, all of it lines up.
If they had gotten the 5, we'd be talking seriously about another home game, I think.
Oh, yeah.
This week, you know? For all the goodbye to the stadium in the air, the 5 versus the 6 to me is a big difference in that context. Not that we know, but, man, like, so then it would have been Houston at Jacksonville or at New England and the Chargers at the other one. And, you know, one of those teams winning and the Bills winning against the Steelers.
And you're lining up.
And you're home.
Right.
In the second round. Denver versus the other guy. Mm-hmm. And then they actually needed both. You'd need both upsets.
Right, right.
But still, like, that wouldn't have been crazy.
That wouldn't have been crazy. I mean, now that it's all set and it's settled down and you sort of look, you know, I do this. Like, I've been for 3 weeks talking about 5, 6, 7 and getting the 5 and being home because 6 and 7 win. Now you look at it's all set. Like, Chargers are not going to New England and winning is what I think now when I look at it. That doesn't mean that it still can't happen, but, like, I feel less optimistic about it, not because the Bills aren't the 5, but just because now, just looking at the matchup, I guess I might have liked them more if they had ended up drawing Denver. You know, like, if New England had gotten the 1 and Denver was the 2, that's a division game, and I feel like that's more... It's more likely to pull an upset there. I don't like the matchup with New England at all for them. But, yeah, you're still in a spot where it could happen, but it's less likely because of the way it all set up, I think.
I think, not to get right into that other matchup, but I don't know if this is how you are doing it. You might have a sort of a flashback or an instinct of, like, old Chargers teams going to New England. I mean, there was at least one playoff game where they got destroyed. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're sort of seeing that, because I don't know. I mean, the line is 3.5 there. That's decent respect for L.A. going to 14-3 New England on the road at night. I mean, that's the theme of this whole field, is except for Carolina and maybe the Steelers. The Steelers are next. Nobody's that good that everybody wants to back them. I'm doing fantasy tournaments that I do every year with different friends, and you always have some obvious names because it's one guy per team, and you want them to play, like, Allen has a chance to play 4 games, whereas the 1 seed can't play 4 games.
Right.
So there's always certain names that are kind of obvious, and Allen's has been one. He's been the two seed for the last 5 years. So like the that's sort of the perfect way to, for it to line up. And okay, well now he's the six, but he's Josh Allen and he was QB one again.
But it's road versus home at least for the first 2 weeks. Whereas when you're the two or the you get that benefit. Yeah,
they're favored last year against Denver by how much? More than a touchdown.
Yeah, I don't remember the line, but it had to be at least that.
Steelers the year before, Miami the year before that was 14. Like these games have been looked the 2-7 games, not only have been pretty much blowouts, except for well, that was a blowout too. The 1 year Green Bay won as the 7, there was still a blowout. Like I don't even know. I have them all right in front of me. The closest 2-7 games are Bills Dolphins and Bills Colts. Bills Colts was a pretty close game. Yeah. Bills Dolphins was kind of a fluke.
Yeah.
But still, like every other one of these
close.
Games
yeah.
is double digits. So anyway, the point is you'd have Allen going into the thing last year, like, well, he's almost a lock to win the first game. Then they're at home again and, you know, onward. But you don't have that. And that's not even May, I think, because they're favored by 3.5 points.
Yeah.
Green Bay, I think, opened as a favorite in Chicago. Today I saw Chicago -1 in the 2-7 game in the NFC. Still. So you can do anything you want. That tournament is just messing with my mind because there is really no chalk. And you like to have a few guys to either just sort of lock in or play against. So here we go. You've made this point about Jacksonville for a while now that you think they were the toughest draw. And I've not been so inclined. And I don't know if I want to get talked into it or not. I'm not sure I want to be convinced that Jacksonville is. I just know, and again, this can be unfair because you can condescend to a franchise like this where it's like, okay, well, my goodness, if you had told me before the season, this is my playoff game,
right.
I would totally want it.
Absolutely, right.
Would you rather go to Jacksonville or play a different team at home? I don't know. Like maybe I would have picked Jacksonville. Like it doesn't really matter because you don't. If they're going to be at home, they had at least a pretty good season. They could have been 8-9. The NFC South went to a team that was 8-9. They could have had a season like that. Doesn't matter. I don't know if I want to be. Do you think Jacksonville would win a poll to your question?
No.
From Bills fans?
No, I don't. It's part of the reason why I have to work to get there myself. Like I'm trying to. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago with Ross Tucker. It'll come up. Like, even you just alluded to it. Not the color of the jerseys or what the mascot looks like, but just the organizational reputation is sort of baked into how intimidated you feel about having to go play a team. And Jacksonville just does not inspire they don't get you scared, I don't think. Just because they are, I don't know, they're not that new anymore. I mean, they've got a whole generation of football fans that have been watching their whole lives with Jacksonville in the league. But I just feel like the reputation is that of a team, of an organization that's somewhat kind of bumbling. Yep. They've got a couple of peaks here and there. AFC title game in 17, is that? The 17th season, yep. I think, right? So that's pretty recent. But, you know, it's Urban Meyer, and it's just, you know, Doug Peterson and his visor and just everything.
Hey,
I know.
Watch it.
It just doesn't feel, you know, tarping off seats, giving games to London. You just sort of think that's a franchise that maybe won't even be there in 10 years. Maybe they'll be somewhere else or something. And
London.
I'm trying. Maybe London. Right. Exactly. So I'm trying to sort of elevate myself past all of that junk because I can fall prey to just feeling like I'm not losing to that team and not even really pay attention to what they are, you know, who they are and what they're good at. And the thing that intimidates me the most about this matchup is how good they are against the run. They're the number one run defense in the league.
Yep.
And, you know, over here, I just sort of offhandedly said how bad the Bills are, and it doesn't matter. It hasn't really hurt them this year. We get mad at it because it's emasculating to watch your team get run over. But in the end, what does it really matter? So being great at stopping it, what is that really going to get you if you can't stop the pass? That's where the rub comes in, because the Bills, it seems most of this year, not entirely, if their run game doesn't get going, they have a hard time finding the easy button any other way. And so I'm worried about that. If they can work through the air, they come out throwing in this game, and Allen looks locked in, and they're just moving the ball, then any concern I have kind of gets put on the back burner. It could still be a very tight, competitive game. But I don't have a lot of evidence that the Bills can just do that whenever they want to. You know, it's favorable. We think we can throw on this team. Okay, the Tampa game, it worked. They did that. But there's not a lot of examples this year of them being able to do that. So I'm curious to see if they can either A, exploit the best run defense of the league because they're so good, their scheme is so good, and their line is so good, maybe they can just strength on strength, we're going to bully you, and maybe that'll work. But if it doesn't, I'm worried about the pivot because the pivot this year has been very inconsistent.
Allen rushing will be interesting to talk about. No one's talking about his foot anymore. He played the one play yesterday, so we'll get, you know, word on that through the week, I guess. This is when you have to let it out. Jacksonville against the run had one game all year where they gave up more than 130 rushing yards. And maybe you would say, ironically, it was against the Chiefs in week 5. And that's because Mahomes got him on a few plays.
Right.
He went for 60 rushing yards in that game, might have even led the team. The Jaguars beat Kansas City, 158. Their second most rushing yards allowed is 130 against Houston and then against the Jets. The Bills allowed more than 130 rushing yards in a game 7 times, almost half their season. And that's not, you know, I don't know if Jacksonville is able to exploit them right back. But to compare the two run defenses for the season, the Bills ended up near the bottom in yards allowed, touchdowns allowed, I mean, yards per attempt, 30th in the league against the run. That doesn't scare me about this game, the Bills' side of that.
Their run defense
no.
or their
yes.
run offense?
Yes, no, stopping ETN.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not that worried about it. I'm more worried about, Parker Washington. Is that a name we need to get familiar with?
Well, yeah.
Right. Brian Thomas Jr.'s had a weird year, but there's still a lot of talent there. And so, and Myers has been nice. He might just be like a utility knife kind of guy. Like he's not anybody's idea of the best receiver in the league, but the fit has been almost perfect.
He's like Shakir, maybe better.
Yeah. I'm curious. I think this is a test for. I'm not worried about their run. I haven't been worried about their run defense almost all year. As much as you hear about it, I just like show me where it's hurting me. You know, I don't see it as a smoking gun for losses. I mean, surely you'd like to be as good as you can be and better than they've been, but it doesn't ever really hurt them. Can they stop that passing offense that has been humming here?
It's just a weird argument for me because it's really not connected to what the Bills do on offense game to game, you know? Like, wouldn't you say it really did hurt them in the opener against Baltimore? Like, that would have been the story of that game.
Oh, sure, yes.
But
they got away
with it. The comeback happens.
Yep.
So, no, you didn't lose, but you got blown out by the Ravens' rushing attack. That's back when Lamar Jackson could even run. That's how long ago that game was. So that one, games like Atlanta and, well, Miami, games like those are, you get down. Like, that's what your run defense's failures meant to those games, is you're losing. And the Bills, you know, aren't perfect for a comeback. You know, like, they're not. It happened in the opener, it happened in Foxborough, but the way they want to play is not a perfect recipe for, you know, when you're down double digits. I don't know. We can figure it out this week. The Bills have not only had bad games on the ground. Philadelphia did nothing, really. Cincinnati didn't do a lot against them. You liked that angle going in.
Yeah.
And they didn't really care to run the ball against the Bills. They scored in the 30s anyway. I don't know if I want to be talked into that Jacksonville was like the worst draw. Because I think overall, this is what to say either. This is going to have to do, you know, like,
well, right, exactly.
It's what we've got.
Right.
And no,
there's no more
not
wishing and trying to manipulate things with your choices and how you handle your roster and everything. Like the pool is the pool. You're in where you're in.
Tears may or may not have been shed upon closing the ESPN playoff machine tab this morning. Always a you know, a bittersweet day. And the Athletic or the New York Times playoff odds and all that. It's over for a long time now, sadly. 803-0550. Eric Wood, Sal Capaccio today. Football Monday on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Mention New England, 3.5-point home favorite against L.A. Houston is a 3.5-point road favorite in Pittsburgh. Would they have been favored in Baltimore?
I don't know.
They blew out Baltimore this year, but I think that was – we kind of all looked at those two teams differently,
yeah.
The Steelers and the Ravens. And yet I was not at all surprised Pittsburgh won because they just
– What a way or another. What a night that was.
We were so close.
That was incredible.
To maybe being done with all of the Steelers people.
Right.
But not now. Not for another week at least.
I had to
– a year.
You imagine, I'm imagining us in the same, maybe we'll get to this situation, I don't know, but that game ends and like the camera, you're sort of watching to see whatever interactions you're going to get, right? And so it's jumping around, here's Harbaugh walking out, here's Aaron Rodgers, here's Lamar, and they cut to Tomlin, and the camera's on him, and he does the beating his chest and like blows a kiss.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man... If that isn't directed at his critics, I don't know what it is. And that would be, we would be talking about that until next September, I think. Because, like, he knows, I'm sure, that people are coming for him. They have been for 5 years, probably. I don't know. Maybe that's too long. But it really has gotten loud. And he gets a missed field goal as time expires to survive, and he's standing there at midfield going, like, I'm not going anywhere. That was amazing.
Win's a win.
What a troll. That was tremendous.
Well, worlds collide there because they have lost in this round, usually badly, 4 straight years. They've also won their last 23 Monday night home games.
Right.
That is nuts. That's another stadium. That's on turf. Against Phil Simms, I think, is the quarterback who beat him the last time they lost a Monday night home game.
Wow.
Giants in maybe 88. Really, of 23 times. You know they always get those games.
Yeah.
They never lose them. So we'll see what it means, if anything, to Houston. We'll decide later what it means.
Right.
This game is on a Monday. So here we go. I mentioned Eric Wood today, Sal Capaccio as well. We'll look for your calls after a break. 803-0550. How do you feel about Jacksonville? Of course, many fans talking about the emotions of yesterday. We're here for some of that as well today. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, thanks for listening. We'll be right back. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I mean, I'm sure if he got hurt, you know, people probably, they'd make me walk home, burn my car, I don't know, you know. That was part of the give and take of the week of, okay, how long do we go? I gave him a quarter. As I told Joe during the week, I was like, all right, he's going to have a quarter. As I got closer and closer to the game, I'm like, nah, quarter's too much. So I'm probably not a great gambler in the casinos, but it helped when we knew what Jonathan Taylor in the afternoon he had.
Sean McDermott yesterday, we talked about that comment on the postgame show, how the point about McDermott in casinos, the friend who wins his first $10 hand at the blackjack table. It's like, I'm done.
I'll see you at the buffet.
I won. I'm out of here. I'm not leaving ahead. I'm leaving up.
We'll get some crab legs.
Was enough. Not sure Cook needed to play at all in the end to win the rushing title. Derrick Henry made it interesting last night.
Yeah, but he couldn't get there. I think he got Cook had 15 yards yesterday, and I think he beat Henry by more than that.
Yeah,
but it was tight. I mean, Henry had a great first half. But you know, happens especially with him. Even this year, there's a lot of games where it looks great early, and then they just get away from it. Not that they, I mean, they had the game won twice, I thought, last night with how hard a time Pittsburgh was having moving the ball themselves. You get a long touchdown to take the lead. I think it's lights out, but Pittsburgh was right there to answer twice, which was really impressive.
Maybe the most excruciating offseason as it starts for any team, Baltimore. Like they had adversity, but the thinking before the season was they won't even really have to be that good to win that division, especially when you come to know that Joe Burrow is going to miss almost the whole season, because Pittsburgh was never really better than expectations. Like, they were never actually good. So it was, to say the least, it was right there. And Jackson missing time and no pass rush, all the injuries. Hamilton leaves, like, of course, right?
Yeah,
like, all these different ways where Baltimore had forces working against them, they're still one field goal away. But they also still do, I've said this about their games with the Bills, because there's a lot, I love Jackson, and there's a lot I've liked about the Ravens. I'm sort of, I've attached myself to them as a team that the betters always buy into. You know, like, Baltimore has a little bit of a, you know, a secret sauce or something, but when you've seen them play the Bills in big games, there are little things they get wrong, whether that's physical or mental or strategic. Mm-hmm. There are little things they get wrong. This is mostly for me, I'm thinking of a regular season win the Bills have in Baltimore a few years back, where they just didn't see the whole board. And even last night, right, they back up before that field goal instead of pushing. That's the criticism, or one of them, for the Ravens, is they didn't do enough to make the field goal as easy as it really should have been once they got the likely play.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, kind of typical. And what do they chalk it up to? You know, like, Pittsburgh, they didn't have New England rise up.
That's right.
And just take them down in the division. They didn't have that. They got Jackson back. They extended Mark Andrews. Why? Like, he doesn't even do anything anymore. And still, like, I don't know what they...
It's going to be I'll be very curious to see what happens as soon as, I don't know, do they have, like, locker clean out news conference stuff today?
Probably.
Now that their year is over, because after the game last night, Jackson, and it's, look, this is plausible to me, like, he doesn't have anything to say about being their quarterback next year or Harbaugh being back, because he's, you know, just, he's in the moment, right? But considering how the year had ended, that's tough to swallow. You know, like, in a vacuum, I can understand a competitor coming off the field and being faced with questions about your future when you just watched a kick that would have enabled you to keep playing. And who knows, given the field, the Baltimore might have felt as good an idea as anyone in the AFC to go all the way, right? So there's a lot to process there. But given how turbulent the last few weeks had been since that Baltimore Sun, was it Baltimore Sun? The article about Jackson sleeping through meetings and staying up late to watch video. It's not been a smooth ride. You probably should have known you're going to be asked about your coach and about your immediate future and have a canned response ready rather than just punting it, which is what he did. He just punted it. And I'm inclined to defend someone in that moment that's emotional, but at the same time, you got to know what's coming and be ready to defuse it if you want. And he didn't at all.
Yeah, I can't think of a team that has harder questions, you know, going into the offseason. Do they make a coaching change? Does Jackson even end up somewhere else? Like, how did they – that's the thing. Like, that's the question they would ask them. How did we not make it? How did this
right
not work out? Just how? 803-0550. Mo is with us. Hello.
Yeah, hi. I'm just thinking about the AFC Championship, how, like, you know, I could be in Buffalo, right? We'd have to play the Chargers and – can you imagine that game in AFC Championship in Buffalo having a West Coast team? I mean, that's just a dream come true. What do you think the odds of that? I just want you to, you know, if you think that's possible. Thanks.
I don't think it's impossible. Anything is possible. I think I liked I like them playing Denver more than playing New England. Myself, like, thinking about the 5, 6, and 7, and the Bills in the 5, and the upsets below them. We're sort of in my head. It was Houston is going to go take out Jacksonville and the Chargers. I like them against Denver way more than against New England. But now that Denver's the one, it could still happen. But not being the 5 makes it a little harder for me to imagine another home game myself.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Buffalo winning two games. That's harder for me to see the Chargers winning two games. They've just not been a team that passes that test. So this would be winning at New England and Denver. I don't know, maybe. It's not ridiculous. Here's Tom next. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Good afternoon, Tom.
Hey, a couple quick points. I won't be long. But the first experience I had at the stadium, I went to a preseason game against the Rams. That's when we had six – it was at Rich. And that's when there were six preseason games every year. In that game, Robert James, our best cornerback I think we've ever had from Fisk College, he blew out his knee. And that was a really downer. But I went with my brother and some other people. Well, it turns out that my brother, back in 1999, we played the Ravens on the road. And I always watched a game with him in my mom's house. And it was ritual. And he died basically in front of me during the game, the first quarter.
Oh, geez.
And with that said, that you know, I sit there and I think back of all the the games I sat with him with, and you know, went over to his section where he was with his friend and stuff, and that was really kind of a melancholy part of the evening watching last night, and it really hits home with a lot of stuff with family and friends or whoever you lost along the way. You're talking a 53-year span. I'm 62 years old, and this stuff really.
Yeah.
Really hits hard. Really quick, Bulldog. I'm sorry. I just wanted to mention, as far as the Jacksonville matchup here, I like Trevor Lawrence. I mean, the guy never gives any guff. He's not a jerk when they interview him or anything like that. I like the guy. He's got a kid. I just found that out today looking him up. But, I mean, he seems like he's a mature guy, and I don't want him to be good against us. But maybe he's turned the page a little bit. But I still like our chances, though. I just don't want the other Josh Allen to get out of Josh, because that seems always happen when we play that.
Right. Thanks, Tom. Yeah, eight sacks for Josh Hines Allen is the name now. Yeah, look, the stadium closing, you get this when you know the Red Sox win a championship or any team that hasn't won a championship in a long time. It becomes about visiting graves and the people that you came up with and all of that. We don't have that. We've got the stadium closing, and that is an emotional chapter in a lot of people's lives, and it is a time when a lot of people are thinking, I think, exactly like Tom, about you know their parents if they're not still around or just even can't go to games anymore or whatever it is. You know, that's absolutely the emotion that binds the whole thing together. That's why it's a big deal when something that's been around for 53 years closes its doors.
Yep, there's been a lot of fans sharing their thoughts on the stadium and their memories of it. I listened to some of Sal's show this morning and heard more of that. I also heard a guy call in to say that, this is my word for it, but it's right on this guy's message, that the Allen consecutive start streak is tainted because to play one play and leave isn't really playing football.
Mm-hmm.
And Sal had no time for it. Like, this is one of the weirder, maybe even worst takes. Like, he seemed to know the caller, and he's like, what? And I kind of get it. I wanted to say, I kind of get it. Like, the guy said that the record, not that it's even a record anybody really cares about. Like, who even knows what the number is? Somebody probably does. It's just like, this isn't the home run record or anything like this.
Right.
Most football records are not
like,
you know, baseball. And the caller did make a baseball comparison too, that Sal was, you know, probably rightly not, and he didn't have time for. But I kind of think you should have to throw more than one pitch.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, I hear that the rules are the way they are, so there is that ability to, I guess, get away with it. But yeah, I mean, the idea is like it's a demonstration of your durability.
Right.
And, you know, how durable are you if you play 8 seconds of a 60-minute game? You haven't really proven anything other than the fact that you were in shape to take that snap and will be again next week. Like, but you didn't put yourself through the rigors of, you know.
And it's, I mean, of course, it's not a referendum on Allen's durability or talent or anything of the sort. It's the simple matter of the consecutive starts that are prolonged because he's able to do this one little tiny thing. I mean, you and I yesterday could have done Allen's job on the field.
Anyone could have.
I'm not talking about he's got the headset. I'm not just anybody would have.
Right.
That's, you know, not the point I want to land on, but it's just like, I don't know. I thought it was an interesting angle to think you're not going to take it away from him.
No one's going to do that.
But still.
This guy wants to, though. So
this guy wants to.
That's all right. You know, all right.
Did you think Burrow laid down?
No, I think he knew the guy. He
didn't want to get.
There was traffic right in front of him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And he knew that the dude was right behind him, and he just went, like, I'm going to make this hurt less, which is different than just laying down. I think he was maybe he even got tripped. I mean, there was a schmozzle in front of him, a lineman and a defender, and like, I don't know. I did not feel like that was, let me give this guy this sack, really at all. Like, I don't think it compares much at all to Favre and Strahan.
Okay. Like, I think I agree.
I mean, Favre was probably dead to rights on that play too, but he just gave up way too easily. Like, he didn't even try to get away. He just rolled out one like, oh, Strahan's here. Fell over. So I didn't feel that way about Burrow.
Cleveland gets the win. They won their last two games. Brilliant. They'll pick sixth. We have six coaching vacancies in the NFL, and not you know, surprisingly, five belong to the teams with the six first draft
picks. The top picks in the draft. Right.
The only team in the top six in the draft order that doesn't have a coaching vacancy is the Jets, and they should have one. I mean, that's the worst team I've ever seen yesterday. Absolutely not competitive at all in any way. Just did not show any fight.
Right.
And that's five losses in a row to end the season by 21 points or more, which is a first.
And these last two, like their game last week pretty much had this same stench.
Oh, yeah.
On it. I don't know about the previous three, but I know these last two were real, real, real bad.
Yeah. And they did not intercept one pass all season, which is how is that even possible? A tip at the line of scrimmage, nobody's there,
right?
Isn't there one? TJ Watt had an interception last night. It's TJ Watt, but that's the kind of, like, it's off a helmet.
Yeah, it bounced off two different things.
Doesn't anybody ever throw a pass off a helmet against the Jets?
Right.
Nope. Aaron Glenn. What an embarrassment. Just no fight, nothing going on there at all.
The reporting this morning or last night even indicated that they're all safe, but I don't know, man. That has got to be very hard to look at what went on there.
That's the kind of season that really tests the notion of, like, a one and done.
Yeah.
Well, what would it look like to make a coaching change after 1 year? It would look like that.
Yes.
It would look exactly like that. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Eric Wood coming up at 4. Buffalo Football Monday here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.